The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
No matter how bad you've been treated, no matter how you got started in life, you can have a great finish by the grace of God.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
Well, it is definitely something that we all want. We all have problems to be solved. And today on Everyday Answers, we are focusing on those heart issues, the problems inside of us. God has one amazing free gift for each one of us, and it is the key to every solution. Today, we have a good question from social media, and this comes from another Joyce in Malawi. This Joyce asks, why does it take so long to get freedom from addictions? What am I missing? Well, great question. And today, we are going to focus on that, as our Joyce teaches that the key to getting free from anything is to not give up, no matter how long it takes. And today she'll explain how we can depend on our undeserved favor from God to help us through these tough issues. So how can God solve our problems? Joyce has the answers right now.
You know, sometimes we hear a message like about grace, how God wants to help us and all we need to do is receive it. But if we're not careful, we can discount ourselves and think, well, you just don't understand my situation. This may work for everybody else, but it doesn't work for my situation. You don't know what all I've done, or you don't know what all has happened to me. Grace is God's undeserved favor. It's God doing something for people who don't deserve it at all. While we were still yet in sin, God sent His Son to die for the ungodly. If He did that for us while we were still sinners and didn't even care about Him at all, how much more, now that we have received Christ, will we be daily delivered from sin's dominion? If God would send His Son to die for you before you even cared about Him, what would He be willing to do for you now? But we do without a lot because we're not bold enough to press in and ask for the very best that God has for us. You can never ask God for too much. I said you can never ask God for too much. You don't have to be careful about asking for too much. God's undeserved favor, His grace, gives us salvation, gives us a relationship with God, but it also then gives us the power to live that life out and walk it out in such a way that not only can we enjoy our journey, and I mean have a wonderful life, but we can be a witness everywhere that we go. Well, you know, when I found out that this grace was power for me to live my daily life, my, it was a life-changing thing for me. Grace was extremely important to the apostles. Many of the letters to the churches begin with grace and peace be multiplied to you in Jesus' name. And then I was noticing today that Paul closes many of his letters with, may the grace of God fill your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Or the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So Paul didn't say hi and bye. Hey. We don't even bother saying hello anymore. It's just, hey. Yo. We've degenerated from where Paul was, where he said, I mean, if he saw you, he'd say, grace and peace be multiplied unto you in Jesus' name. And that meant something to them. That was just like saying, the power of God be unto you. God's undeserved favor be on you. And then to say, grace and peace be multiplied to you. You see, you can't have peace without grace. There's no way we can have peace without grace. That's why he links the two together in so many of his letters. How can I have peace in my life if I don't have undeserved favor and power in my life? So honestly and truly, when we sing about amazing grace, we have to understand that's not just a song. Grace is jaw-dropping amazing. I mean, it is absolutely, astoundingly amazing. God not only saves us, but He gives us everything that we need. Everything. Let me tell you something. God never calls you to do something and doesn't give you what you need to do it. God never puts you in a place without giving you what you need to be there. Amen? Well, I just can't do this. Well, yeah, if it's what you're supposed to be doing, then you can do it. But it's going to be very hard for you if you don't believe that you can do it. Now, grace is available to all. Every single person that has ever lived on the planet has the same opportunity to have a victorious life. Every single person has an opportunity to have their sins forgiven and have a great relationship with God and the promise of eternal life. Every person, no matter what your situation is, there's grace available to you for your situation. And I felt very strongly that I was to press this point tonight, that if you think you are a special case, God will give you a special grace. There is special grace for the special cases in the house tonight. And you see, I thought for a long time I was a special case because I had been abused by my father. But I found out that God had enough grace to help me overcome my special case and to set my feet on a rock and lift my head up and make something beautiful out of what started out to be a bunch of ashes. No matter how bad you've been treated, no matter how you got started in life, you can have a great finish by the grace of God. But it's not going to happen for you if you don't believe it, because grace is a free gift, now listen, that can only be received through faith. God's not going to push it on you. He's not going to make you receive it. You receive it by faith. You ask for it. You humble yourself under the mighty hand. God, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. And even if I did, I wouldn't have the energy to do it. But I ask you to help me. I ask you to do it through me. Amen? And boy, anytime you start to feel that you're losing your charge, or all your circuits are about to go on overload, just like you go plug that phone in, or make sure you plug that computer in, you go plug yourself in. You say, what does that mean, Joyce? It's very simply just taking a moment and purposely going to God and saying, God, I need you. Help me, Jesus. I am going to lose it here. Help me calm down. I don't want to make a fool out of myself. I don't want to say a bunch of stuff I'm going to be sorry for later. Help me. The moment that somebody hurts your feelings, don't just try to get over it. Don't just try to forgive them. You start right away wherever you're at. If you can't do it out loud, then internally, God, help me, help me, help me forgive, help me forgive. I refuse to be offended. I refuse to stay angry. I am not going to let the devil steal from me one more day. Help me. Oh, if we can just understand that this is a lifestyle. Being a believer is a lifestyle. It's not a Sunday morning event. It's not a one-time at the altar event. This is a lifestyle. We live by the grace of God. Prayer becomes like breathing. We do it to stay alive. I feel very passionate about what I'm saying, and I pray in Jesus' name that God will open the eyes of your understanding and give you revelation tonight. There's not only grace available to us, but there is grace, grace, and more grace. And certainly enough grace for any special case in this room. So you don't get out of being victorious. I said, you're not going to get out of being victorious. You can have no excuse for not being victorious. Well, I would be happy too, Joyce, if I had your life. Oh, you don't know nothing about my life. You don't know anything about what I put up with to do what I'm doing. Well, you know, if I would have had the start in life that so-and-so did, then I could be happy too. No, no, no. And if you didn't get as good a start as somebody else, then you'll get more grace than they did. You see, grace is the great equalizer. That means that no matter what I don't have, God's grace will come in and fill up that lacking in my life, and suddenly it lifts me up to an equal plane with everybody else. That's why it really doesn't matter where you start. The only thing that stands between any person and victory is how quick or how soon in their life they turn completely to Jesus and learn how to receive help from Him. Instead of struggling with things and trying to make them happen yourself, ask. You have not because you ask not. Now, there's something that I need to kind of sandwich in here to make sure that you're bold enough to ask. Many people will not ask God for things because they don't feel like that they're good enough to ask. Or they feel like, well, I've made too many mistakes. I can't ask God for that. And it's very interesting to me the way we pray, and I still catch myself doing this, but begin to notice how many times we use the word just in our prayers. Well, God, if you'll just do this. If you'll just help me. If you'll just forgive me. If you'll just. And you know what that means? Barely enough to get by on. He says we can ask boldly. Come boldly to the throne. And that He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that we can ever dare. But see, if you don't know who you are in Christ, if you still see yourself as that old creature, you really never have put on the new nature, you don't really know who you are in Christ, you don't understand what really happened when you received Christ, that you were made the righteousness of God in Christ, that you were justified and made just as if you had never sinned, and that every legal ordinance against you was completely canceled and blotted out, and that God sees you washed in the blood. It's important for me to share this with you, because I can tell you that you need to ask boldly, and that whatever you ask for, God will hear your prayer, and in the right way and at the right time, He will answer that prayer. I can tell you that, and you will think, well, that's good, and I wish it could happen to me, but I'm not. The devil just stays so busy trying to tell us what we're not. And the only antidote for that is to know what you are in Christ and learn to talk back to the devil. Well, Joyce, you're not this. Well, devil, I am anointed. Well, Joyce, you're not this. Well, devil, I am a child of the Most High God. Well, Joyce, you're not this. Well, guess what? You are under my feet and you have no authority over me. Well, Joyce, you're not good enough. You're right. Thanks for reminding me, but Jesus is. You say, oh, do you really carry on like this? Absolutely. And if I didn't, I still wouldn't be standing here today, I'll tell you that. The devil would have taken me out a long time ago. You have to know who you are in Christ. It's totally different than who you are in yourself. In ourselves, we are nothing, but through Him, we're the apple of God's eye. special, anointed, called, redeemed, justified, bought with the blood, made right with God. We have to understand the difference between what I call our who and our do. My children are my children, no matter what they do. Have you ever said to one of your children, I want you to know that no matter what you ever do, I will always love you? Anybody ever said that to one of your kids? Why? Why do we say that? Because we want them to have the confidence in us that they don't have to be perfect. And even if they mess up and make mistakes, and even if it's a bad mistake, we are committed. We are in for the long haul. I may not like everything you do, son, but I will always love you, always love you. Well, if we can say that as human parents, what is God trying to say to us? I will always love you no matter what you do, no matter how many times you mess up. I'm in for the long haul. I'm committed. We're going to work this out together. Amen. Isn't that great to know you don't have to work it out by yourself, that God's, he's never going to give up on you? And if you know who you are in Christ, yes, I don't do everything right. Don't talk to me right now, devil, about what I do. What I do is none of your business anyway. It's between me and God. But I know who I am. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, there is a scripture that says, there is a righteousness found in the Word of God that leads us from faith to faith. A righteousness found in the Word of God that leads us from faith to faith. For in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes, we don't earn it, he gives it, is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith. So, by faith, I receive that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And then knowing who I am, that enables me now to even step out with greater faith. Are you with me? But we're never going to have anything other than just barely, well, God, if you'll just help me. Well, he doesn't want to just help you. He wants to strengthen you and empower you and lift you up and give you a special life. Don't be satisfied with just barely enough to get by on. Know who you are in Christ and go boldly to the throne in Christ's name and have your needs met. Now, doesn't always happen right away, so there's a waiting that takes place, and boy, that's where we get all bum-fuzzled, isn't it? Well, I ask, and nothing happened to me. Well, it ain't over till it's over, and it's not over yet. And every time the enemy says nothing's happening, you just need to say, God is working. God is working. So, Joyce, if I ask God to change me, will he change me, or do I have to keep trying to do it myself? How many of you have tried to change yourself so many different ways? Jesus. And you're going to have to wait on him to do that. And in the meantime, you may not like it too much, because we just can't stand it when we can't get things the minute we want it. And you know what? God has changed me over the years. I've actually become quite nice. Very caring. I love people. I love to give. Yeah, I still got a little edge to me. I don't know. I may never get rid of that. But I'm not sure that I could do what I do if I didn't have a little bit of that. You know, that oomph. I kind of got that oomph. And I've had to have some of that all my life to survive what I went through and come out of it. I had to be a little bit of a pusher and a to get here. And frankly, I got fed up years ago with apologizing for myself. And God is welcome to do anything that he wants to do in my life. He can change me any way that he wants to, but I cannot do it, and I will not keep trying to. Well, you say, well, Joyce, you can't just not try to change. Well, that's just dumb. You have to try to change. No, I don't have to try. I need to believe. There's a work for us to do, but it's a spiritual work of going from faith to faith to faith to faith. God, I believe that you can do whatever needs to be done in me and through me as I lean on you. And I do my part. I study the Word. I go to the Word, just like I told you this morning. We didn't have a lot of time right at the end of the morning session when I was talking about the power that's in the Word of God and how when we go to this and we really receive it, not just see what all we can read to get our checkpoints on our read the calendar through in a year thing. And I'm not against that. I think that's a great thing to do. But, you know, sometimes we don't even read the Word for quality. We just read it for quantity. It's just we just want to, I read four chapters every day, or I read the Bible through every year. Well, yeah, what do you know? And is anything changing? The Word of God is medicine for our soul. The Word of God works that fruit of the Spirit in me and out of me. The more we see what amazing things God has done for us, the more deeply we fall in love with Him. And the Bible says that the love of God constrains us. The love of God causes us to control ourselves. And we don't do it because we think we have to get God's love. We do it now because He does love us so much that we have to respond by being the best version of us that we can be. Amen? Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Paul said, the apostle Paul, "For I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled and bewildered. I do not practice or accomplish what I wish, but I do the very thing that I hate. The very thing my moral instinct condemns. Now, if I do habitually what is contrary to my desire, then that means I'm acknowledging and agreeing that the law is good, and I'm taking sides with it. However, it's no longer I who does the deed, but the sin principle which is at home in me and has possession of me." Now, wait a minute. You're doing it, but it's not you doing it. Well, if it's not you doing it, who is doing it? I'm a little confused, Paul. "For I know that nothing good dwells in me." Can anybody say amen? That is in my flesh. Nothing good dwells in my flesh and in your flesh, but in your spirit, you are full of good things. You're not just a body and a flesh, but you are a spirit and you have a soul. And when the spirit is fed more than the flesh is, it gets stronger than the flesh, and we walk by the spirit. And when we walk by the spirit, we no longer fulfill the lusts of the flesh, which will always be there. There's always going to be lusts of the flesh. The flesh is always going to be used by the enemy to try to defeat us. But if we're strong enough spiritually, he cannot do it. That's why it is so foolish to fill our stomachs full of food 3, 4, 5, 6 times every day and never take the time or bother to take in the spiritual food that we need, which is the only thing that's going to make us really happy. "I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, that I can will what is right, but I can't perform it. I have the intention and the urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out. For I fail to practice the deeds that I desire to do with the evil deeds that I don't want to do. That's what I'm ever doing." Well, can anybody say, man, I've been there, done that, know exactly what he's talking about? We want to do what's right. But it just sometimes seems like it's so frustrating because you want to do it. But then there's this frustration because you don't seem to be able to pull it off. Verse 24 and 25. "Oh, unpitiable, oh, unhappy and pitiable and wretched man that I am. Who will release and deliver me from the shackles of this body of death?" Oh, thank God, he will. "Who will deliver me?" Oh, thank God, he will. "Through Jesus Christ. Who will deliver me?" Oh, thank God, he will. "Who will deliver me?" Oh, thank God, he will. "Through Jesus Christ.
So yes, God wants to help us to solve our problems, and He's given us amazing gifts, but He also asks us to do our part. And sometimes there is a waiting period for that deliverance, but during that time, we can get closer to God, experience His love, and renew our minds through Scripture, and then receive the grace that honestly changes everything. If you want to understand this more, Joyce has a great teaching. It's called Amazing Grace, and it is 4 hours of teaching from Joyce that will help you understand and to really plug into God's power of grace in our life. Look how beautiful it is. This would just be a great gift for someone to help them understand God's grace as well. It says, "What's impossible with man is possible with God." And inside these teachings, you will learn how, with God's help, you can overcome any circumstance, and you'll really understand what grace is. It's an important definition. Well, a lot of you have been talking on social media about those changes that you need to see in your life and how God has been helping you. So here's something from Cindy in New Jersey. Cindy says, "I tried for many years to beat my addictions. When I completely and finally humbled myself and surrendered to the Lord, my obsession was lifted. Almost 10 years free now. I do not deserve His grace and mercy, yet He gives it to me willingly and absolutely. Amazing grace." Maybe for you it's not an addiction. Maybe for you it's something else. Maybe it's dealing with the loss of a loved one that you're trying to overcome, or a mindset like worry or anxiety. Well, this week's social discussion that we would love to hear from you on is to describe some specific undeserved blessings that God has given you. I know for me the list would be so long, but help us to understand what God has done in your life that you know you didn't deserve, but He gave to you freely. Share those with us on Facebook at the Joyce Meyer Ministries Facebook page, on Twitter using hashtag EA. And while you're online, we have a page, it's called Life in the Word, and it really is all about that. It is one place where you can find all of Joyce's Bible study tools for wherever you are in your life. So if you're a new Christian, their information for that is right there. If you're not a Christian yet and you want to find out more about it, we have that for you. And if you need to learn how to study the Bible, that's right there too. So go to joycemeyer.org/study. And be here, because next time on Everyday Answers, you'll see this.
I am dead to sin and I am alive to God. And I'm a whole new different creature now that you're going to be dealing with than the one that you have dealt with before.
Of course, you can always ask a question anytime. We are here for you. Use hashtag AskJoyce. And remember, God loves you so much. You mean the world to Him, and He is there for you in this moment. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.